thank you all for coming and choosing to be here amongst what I'm sure are other great talks. My name is Anna Wade. I'm a third year PhD student at Duke University, and Dan Richter is my advisor. And this morning I'm going to be talking to you about historic sedimentation and its pedological significance in the Piedmont. I'm going to begin with an intro to legacy sediments, what they are and why they are significant in the Piedmont. I have two objectives for this talk. First, to quantify and look at the potential for buried carbon in this system, and also to look more broadly at the pedological differences in these eroded soils and the floodplains that they've buried. And my takeaways are that this is a low carbon system for various reasons, and that overall these terraces of legacy sediments have pushed this floodplain to be a more oxidized, iron-rich sandy system. So to begin, we often think about soil erosion in the Piedmont, and for good reason. Beginning in the 1700s, widespread agriculture triggered the loss of about 18 centimeters of topsoil from the uplands. But what we think less about is where all this soil ended up. Now, note on the graph on the right the order of magnitude difference between upland erosion and sediment yield. These are Piedmont River basins. So what this means is a lot of the eroded soil is still in the river basin. So where is it? Well, we're finding it in a lot of low gradient floodplains and valley bottoms. And there, the block diagram shows that these are often terraces of eroded upland soils. And we call these legacy sediments. And often they look like more iron-rich 7.5 YR sandy soils overlying the former hydric glade floodplain. And these have been well studied in the context of fluvial geomorphology, water quality, and sediment budgets, but they've received less attention in terms of pedogenesis and soil structure and formation. And these are important topics to consider because it's estimated that these deposits will be sticking around for a millennia or so. So we need to consider them as soil formations and profiles in and of themselves. So one driver for the study was carbon. We wanted to see whether these soils had triggered carbon burial or acted as a carbon sink. On the right is a previous model by a student at our site showing the net depositional scenario where it acted as a carbon sink. But we had no idea what these carbon profiles looked like with depth. So on the left, I have several hypothetical scenarios. And we also wanted to see how they differed pedologically, the eroded legacy sediments and the buried floodplain, because in the field often we saw a lot of different morphological characteristics. So we wanted to see if that translated into other aspects, mineralogy, texture, basic chemical composition. And these are two profiles at our site. So here's another critical zone observatory, like one previously talked about, the Calhoun CZO. It's in the Piedmont, and it represents some of the most agriculturally degraded lands. It's characterized by highly weathered ultisols and inceptisols, and it sits atop granitic gneiss bedrock. And our study site was situated within it, small tributary to the Tiger River. We had a long transect and a short transect, about 20 sites averaging 180 centimeters. All in all, it was about 200 samples. And we did a suite of chemical, physical, and morphological analyses on them. So jumping into results, contrary to what we expected, we did not see a jump in the buried floodplain carbon. Note the difference in the scale bars. Aside from the developing a horizon, these soils had carbon values that were comparable to upland mineral soils, so less than 0.5%. And the legacy sediment in buried A were not significantly different, and the buried floodplain was even less in percent carbon. And as we went downstream, we did not see any linear trajectories and increases of buried carbon or decreases. So that got us thinking, you know, why are these systems so low in carbon? And it's both a combination of old legacy sediment and then a very oxic floodplain. So we did do radiocarbon analyses thanks to Alex Trakinski at University of Georgia. And these values are depletion in radiocarbon. So what this means is the more negative the value, the older the carbon. And as you can see, the legacy sediments in brown are more negative than the soils that they are sitting atop of. And what this is it's a reflection of the source. So older soils will have more negative radiocarbon values. And we know that the legacy sediment was both a mix of sheet erosion and gully erosion. So presumably this mix of eroded soil was not sourced from just the A horizon, but a mix of B and C, which are more depleted in carbon to begin with. This floodplain also has several other barriers to soil carbon buildup. It supports a very thriving mixed hardwood forest that, according to our tree cores, has been around for about 100 years and presumably has taken up a lot of the carbon that was previously stored in the buried A. It is also very high in permeability. The hydraulic conductivity values that we got for these sites all fell in the high permeability range on the right. And what this means is it's an indirect reflection of porosity and also soil aggregation. And so there's a lower potential for organic matter binding in this system. Now, pedologically, we did see morphological differences that were consistent across sites. The legacy sediments were, on average, 10 YR to 7.5 YR. We would see more stratified bands of sands. And whereas the hydric floodplain had more diffuse boundaries that were exposed by stream incision modeling and redox features. But when we looked at texture, we did not see any textural differences in the legacy sediment or the buried floodplain. As you can see, this is a very sandy system. All these classes fell into either sandy loam or loamy sand. So we also looked at within the sand size fraction to see if these sands were more fine textured or coarse textured, and if there were differences within that size class. And we did find that the buried floodplain soils were more coarse textured, but again, there were no significant differences. The XRD patterns, we did two theta phase analysis of five sites along the floodplain. And here I show legacy sediments in brown in the buried floodplain, XRD peaks in blue, and I've just scaled them up so you can see them all. The takeaway is that they're mostly quartz and kaolinite, which is not surprising, but there's also a mix of feldspars. So we have mostly potassium feldspars, but I think that there might be some albites and plagioclase, which would be surprising. However, if these legacy sediments are being sourced from deeper saprolite from gully erosion, then perhaps it's not too far off to suggest that there might be some primary minerals that were deposited in these sediments as well. And in our field observations, these buried floodplain soils often showed saprolitic-like characteristics. So again, there is potential for both legacy sediments and the buried floodplains to have a combination of primary and secondary minerals. What we did find a difference was in iron oxide crystallinity. So we looked at the content and composition of iron oxides. This is a standard method for analyzing pedogenesis. So the ratio of amorphous to crystalline iron oxides will give an indicator of the degree of pedogenic extent, so the degree of weathering that has taken place in these soils. And what I want to draw your attention to is that the ratio of amorphous to crystalline is lower in the legacy sediments. That's what we expected to see. The legacy sediments on average were more iron oxide rich, or appeared to be 7.5 YR. And we also know that they were sourced from these well-oxidized mineral upland soils. And so there also is a greater amount of crystalline iron oxides in these legacy sediments than in the former buried floodplain. And so in conclusion, we can see that in our system of legacy sediments that we have here, this is not a significant carbon sink for a variety of reasons. So there is a ongoing debate about the importance of erosion-induced carbon sinks or sources. So in our system, it appears that erosion did not trigger a significant carbon sink, and that these terraces of legacy sediments have pushed this Piedmont floodplain to be a more iron-rich, coarse, well-drained system that is different from what would have been in the, I guess, in the Holocene or previous, prior to colonial settlement. So with that, I'd like to thank the various people that have been a part of this project, my lab, former students that have helped out, the funding sources that have been crucial to this success, and all the great people that I've had the privilege of working with. So I'd like to take any questions you might have. Thank you.
We have time for a quick question, and then again, the discussion at the end. Yes.
So you said most of your tips were dug, and your course were dug to 180 centimeters. Did you try going deeper?
Well, I should have prefaced the dug with they were exposed, so the tributary stream has incised. So we both were able to see the sediments along the stream face or the stream bank, and then when we did a combination of sampling from the stream bank, and then we also dug as deep as we could. The deepest we were able to get was about 180 centimeters, because, and this was at site 11, and then we were prevented from digging deeper because it was always saturated, and so the stratification was masked by the saturated conditions. So so we think that the furthest downstream areas are still an active site of ongoing deposition, but the further upstream sites are more stabilized.
The only reason I ask is because I've done work on Piedmont floodplains in Maryland and Delaware, and once we get that first buried surface at about a meter and a half, then we put an auger down, and we got just a beautiful oval horizon down there that was buried. Totally different system, but I'm just curious how many buried surfaces.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. It could be that there are multiple layers of sediment that are further buried. That's a good point.
We've yet to